Budweiser's weekday sports beat on your home of the Irish. 96.1 FM, WSBT.
Martin for three. Got it!
The Clay Colonials win the state championship.
Notre Dame has beaten number one BC. Over the board come the Irish.
Comes with.
Her shot is up, no good, and the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame have won the national championship.
Ryan Newman, Roger Penske, wow, win the Daytona 500.
The Stanley Cup to the Chicago Blackhawks.
The Irish has upset Florida State. Notre Dame is number one.
Your hosts are Eric Hansen and Darren Pritchett.
And we welcome you to another installment of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM WSBT. I'm Darren Pritchett with the South Bend Cubs in Fort Wayne, Indiana. South Bend and Fort Wayne will play Game 2 of a four-game series tonight. 7:05 first pitch on WSBT Radio. And the Jordan Automotive Group pregame show starts our coverage at 6:50. We've got Eric Hansen. He is the Fighting Irish football insider for the South Bend Tribune back in our WSBT studios. We'll have another Notre Dame summer camp series list to get to. Today we're going to rank the Notre Dame 2017 opponent quarterbacks that they will face from weakest to strongest. Yesterday our list featured head coaches, and today we're going to focus on opponent quarterbacks. Who is the best quarterback that they'll face? I think number one might be obvious, but who is in the top three? We'll find out in just a moment. Also coming up at the bottom of this hour, as we told you yesterday, Mishawaka hiring Ron Heklinski as their new boys basketball coach. And he's going to join us live at 5:30 to talk about taking over the Caveman basketball program. My five question of the day in about 40 minutes. The five college football programs that would benefit the most from moving to a new conference. I don't think we're going to have much movement, Eric, for probably 4 or 5 years when the TV contracts come up again in 2023. There's a couple of conferences that'll be up for grabs. Maybe things will be quiet until then, but who knows? We've been fooled before. So we'll get to that in my five in just a few moments. And then next hour, Dean Huppert, the new director of athletics for the school city of Mishawaka, will join us to talk about the hiring of Ron Heklinski. That conversation at 6:10, around 6:25, rapid fire, and then we get the Jordan Automotive Group pregame show started at 6:50. Hope you're enjoying your non-summer-like June day back in South Bend.
It's National Sunglasses Day today, Darren.
So you've had your famous white sunglasses on all day, I'm assuming.
Oh, incredibly, yes.
Even in the shower.
Not in the shower, but just about everywhere else.
Okay, fair enough. Before we get to the Notre Dame Summer Camp Series, just want to pass along one note for those of you that are Notre Dame hockey fans or NHL fans. I think you'll find this story interesting. We've been following it for a little while now, but about a month ago, Notre Dame goaltender Cal Peterson decided to leave his final year of college eligibility on the table and pursue his professional career. At that time, we mentioned he had 30 days to decide whether he wanted to sign with the team that drafted him 4 years ago, the Buffalo Sabres, or due to a seldom-used clause in the collective bargaining agreement, he could sign with any NHL team after 30 days. So we're closing in on that 30-day mark, and we have found out that Cal has decided not to sign with the Buffalo Sabres, and he is going to be a free agent this summer. So Cal will have the ability to sign with any NHL team to get his professional career underway. A year ago, Irish junior forward Thomas DePaulie went through the same process. He was drafted by the Washington Capitals. Actually, Thomas was a senior, excuse me. He played all 4 years. But Thomas was drafted by the Washington Capitals, elected not to sign with them, and ended up signing with the Pittsburgh Penguins organization. So not a first time that a Notre Dame player has gone this route. But to make a long, boring story short, with this CBA, you become a free agent 4 years after you were drafted. Cal was drafted by the Sabres in 2013. This was put into the CBA, I think, as kind of a, well, here you go. You gave up NHL money. at the age of 18, 19, 20, 21 to stay in college. So in order to, I guess, offer a compromise to the player that's giving up the money, they gave them a free agent right after 4 years of being drafted. Eric, it's very odd. I don't think anybody likes this. I mean, what other sport do you have? You become basically a free agent before you even play a game. The only thing that comes close to this is the international free agent signing in Major League Baseball. Before they get into professional baseball, they can sign with whomever they want. Other than that, I really don't know if there's a sport that's comparable. I mean, there are players in the NFL that don't get drafted. That's kind of a different story, I guess, but it's a unique situation, and Cal's going to take advantage of that opportunity to try to find the best place for him. And I'll mention one more thing. I don't know why he didn't pick the Sabres. I have not heard, but the people that he would go to their prospect camps with, the management team, etc., they're all gone. The Sabres have had a tough go, so they're going in a different direction. So their new general manager was not around. He was a part of the Penguins organization over the last 4 years, so he doesn't know that GM. I don't know if that had something to do with it, but that's a little background. But Cal Peterson has elected to become a free agent. He is not going to sign with the Sabres, who drafted him back in 2013. It's very odd. You lose a player like that, but the Blackhawks, a couple of years ago, lost a first-round pick, Kevin Hayes, out of Boston College, who refused to sign with the Blackhawks, went to the Rangers. So the Hawks have been a little more aggressive signing college players just to protect themselves. When you lose a first-round pick in this fashion, that's a whole different ballgame. So, Eric, I hope that kind of makes sense, but that's a little background on what's going on with a heck of a goaltender that I'm very fond of, Cal Peterson.
What I glean from that is that you will be able to ask for money from him and he will loan it to you.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's going to be doing okay in a very short amount of time. I'm sure he's going to be in the AHL this year. Maybe he gets a look with a team later on next season. But, oh, by the way, Wayne Gretzky wore number 99. 99 days from today, the NHL will have their first regular season game, which I know you're very excited about. Now let's get to a sport that will be starting a little sooner than that. College football. And today we continue with our Notre Dame summer camp series. Eric, we're going to focus on the quarterbacks that the Fighting Irish defense will face during the regular season. So you have ranked all 12 starting quarterbacks, or the quarterbacks you believe are going to start for these teams, and they have been ranked from weakest to strongest. So I think we know who number one is going to be, but I can't wait to hear who's in the top three, four on your list. Why don't we get it out of the way? The guy, unfortunately, who has the most to prove, and maybe will prove you wrong later, the weakest quarterback that the Irish will face this year.
Well, it's interesting, Darren. As a group, there's not a lot of prowess here. There's not a lot of experience. There's not a lot of high expectations, which is the exact flip side of the defenses that Notre Dame will face. But in terms of quarterbacks, Athlon ranks them 1 through 130, and there are only five in the top half, five in the top 65, which is a pretty low number, and really only two in the top 35. So they're not facing, you know, a murderer's row of quarterbacks, which is good for a defense that needs some room to grow in the first few games of the season. But I will start with number 12. And it's the quarterback they will see first, and it's Logan Marchie from Temple. Logan was a backup last year, only threw a few passes, has a 73.9 quarterback rating, which is really bad. But he's had to sit behind a pretty good quarterback in Walker for a couple years. He's going to get his chance. He's got a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator. So maybe Logan Marchie will have some surprises, but Athlon actually ranks him 123 out of 130.
And he maybe has never seen a Rover before, so he's got his hands full.
Yes,
he does. First game at Notre Dame Stadium. All right, next up on our list as we rank the Irish opponent quarterbacks, number 11.
Number 11, I'm going to go with Darius Wade. Darius plays with Boston College. And he actually was their starter at the beginning of the 2015 season. You know, racked up big numbers against Maine and Howard, got in a game against Florida State, which was kind of a defensive struggle, suffered a season-ending injury in that week 3. He came back last year and got beat out for the job. Now he's back as the starter. In limited action last year, had an 81.1 quarterback rating, which is, again, off the charts, not very good. He does have some mobility, can run a little bit, but he comes in at number 11 on my list.
All right, and the Irish will face Darius Wade and Boston College in Chestnut Hill in September. Let's move along on our quarterback list to opponent quarterback number 10.
I'm going with redshirt sophomore Brian Lewerke from Michigan State here. So Notre Dame will see him fairly early. He actually, in the middle of the season, beat out Tyler O'Connor, the guy that had a field day against Notre Dame, really struggled after that Notre Dame game. Brian Lewerke overtook him and then suffered a season-ending injury on October 29th against Michigan and was out for the rest of the season. He had a 118.6 quarterback rating, still not very good. He's a decent runner. You know, the thing that I think is going to hurt Brian a little bit is he only has three offensive starters returning, around him. So he's not considered a returning starter because he only started two games. But, again, I think this is a guy that probably would project, if he had a better surrounding cast, I think we would see decent numbers from this kid. He's pretty talented.
Well, in the spring game, you could tell they were getting him ready for the season because he threw 44 passes in their spring game and threw for 305 yards with a touchdown and two interceptions. And Mark D'Antonio, the head coach of Michigan State, he's one of those guys that doesn't say a whole lot. He said, quote, "I think he's progressed very well. He can throw the ball. What he has the great ability to run the football, too. He's a good athlete. He's poised back there." So Brian Lewerke comes in at number 10 on Eric's list of ranking the quarterbacks that the Irish will face during the regular season, which brings us to number 9.
Another kid that had injury problems last year, and it's Kendall Hinton at Wake Forest. Kendall was the starter at the beginning of the season. Suffered a season-ending injury the third game of the season. At first, they thought it was a knee injury. They thought, okay, he'll be out 2 to 4 weeks. He ended up missing the rest of the season. He had beaten out Jonathan Wolford, who had started, a couple of years for the Demon Deacons. They're both back, so there's a chance if Hinton isn't fully recovered, Wolford could overtake him. But right now, it looks like Kendall Hinton. 124.3 passer rating, not very good. Again, he's a guy with some mobility, and they definitely think he's their best option.
Well, it's interesting, Eric. When I did a little research on Hinton, you have him number 9 on your list, and since you're a Heisman balloter, you'll be happy to know that there was an SB Nation story on Wake Forest football. The headline is, Kendall Hinton can win the Heisman in 2017. I'll let you think about that one for a couple of moments.
And I can win a Pulitzer in 2017.
We move along to number 8 on your list.
Number 8, I have a slash because it's not... They're not settled at this at school, and it's Miami. It's Malik Rozier / Evan Sheriffs. Malik is a redshirt sophomore. Evan is a redshirt junior. In fact, I have that reversed. Malik is the redshirt junior. Evan is the redshirt sophomore. They came out of spring practice as the co-number ones. There's other folks in the mix, and a guy that could get in the mix in August is true freshman and Cozy Perry. The one thing is they have some really good talent around them. The bad news is their offensive line wasn't very good last year, so they really need to grow up. Brad Kaya was the starting quarterback when Miami faced Notre Dame last year. He could have really benefited from coming back a year, but it's going to be one of those two unless Cozy Perry just has a lights out August camp, the true freshman, and beats both those guys out.
So we don't even know who the Miami quarterback's going to be, but they're both ahead of the guy who could win the Heisman in 2017.
Exactly. Well, several people are ahead of that Heisman. Rozier played a little bit of those guys. Rozier got in a few games and had a 117.2 passer rating in those games.
All right, let's get through the first half of your list. Here's number 7.
I'd say the biggest wild card on the list, and it's Brandon Harris at North Carolina, the former LSU quarterback.
Yeah.
Got beat out by Danny Etling, transferred to North Carolina, which a lot of folks thought would be Malik Zaire's landing spot. He succeeds Mitch Trubisky, only had a 95.9 passer rating for LSU in his limited time last year. I mean, he was a really big-time prospect coming out of high school, so maybe that guy is still inside of him with a new coach. And we realize that LSU hasn't been a boon for quarterback development. So maybe with Larry Fedora, he finds his way and becomes a star.
I was really looking forward, more than any other quarterback, to see where you put him on the list, because there's just a huge question mark surrounding what this kid is going to be able to do. So we're going through our Notre Dame summer camp list today. We're ranking the opponent quarterbacks the Irish defense will face. Number 12, Logan Marchie of Temple. 11, Darius Wade of BC. 10, Brian Lewerke of Michigan State. Wake Forest, Kendall Hinton. 9, a Miami starting quarterback. 8, Brandon Harris of Carolina. 7, now to number 6.
Number 6, you know, you always want to write off when Navy loses a really good quarterback, and you say, well, the next guy can't be nearly as good. So what happens last year? They start with Tago Smith. He gets hurt, and Will Worth comes in and is a world beater after Keenan Reynolds had graduated. At the end of the year, Will Worth got hurt, and we saw a peak of this quarterback, Zach Abbey. Will Worth has graduated, so Zach Abbey will be the number one. So did Tago Smith. So Zach Abbey will be the number one quarterback. You know, he runs really well in five games, basically, and some of those in relief appearance, 5.5 yards a carry and 6 touchdowns. What he wasn't good was passing, a 128.2 rating, which is better than a lot of these other guys on the list. But 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions. He's going to have to cut down on the turnovers. And with a spring and a summer, I think he'll be a better quarterback. But again, really dangerous in the triple option is Zach Abbey.
And when he throws the ball deep for a touchdown, is that going to be called a Downton Abbey pass?
I'll let you come up with that.
Let's go to number 5 on your list.
You know, number 5 is the guy that came out of high school with the most acclaim. He is the only 5-star quarterback on this list.
Interesting.
And last year had a 120.2 rating, and a lot of that was being a true freshman. A lot of that was not having a very good offensive line, and it's Jacob Eason. Athlon actually thinks that he will be the second best quarterback Notre Dame faces. They have him at 21, but he's got a lot of improving to do. Now, again, he's got the pedigree, he's got the hype, and he's got a lot of returning starters around him. Georgia has 7 returning starters on offense, including him, 10 on defense. So this should be a team that's much better. We'll see how much he can improve in 1 year. He still has to kind of prove it to me.
Ranking the Notre Dame opponent quarterbacks, now number 4 on Eric's list.
Well, this guy was pretty highly rated out of high school and did not win the job when Kevin Hogan transferred. Ryan Burns actually did, and started the year for Stanford as their quarterback. In the middle of the year, their offense was struggling. They decided to give Keller Christ a start, and Stanford started winning. Now, initially, his numbers were pretty modest. Over his last 3 regular season games, he was outstanding. Now, that came against 3 really bad defenses, Oregon, Cal, and Rice. But then in the bowl game against North Carolina, he suffers a knee injury. He is not going to be back playing until August camp, and sometimes these things linger. But if Keller Christ is healthy, I have him at number 4. If he's not healthy, Burns was going to do a grad transfer, decided to stick around, and there's two really good young quarterbacks, KJ Costello, a redshirt freshman, Davis Mills, a true freshman. Davis Mills would be the second most highly recruited quarterback among the ones that we're going to talk about today. He was a 5-star guy, but he's not projected as the starter. That's why I didn't include him in that 5-star mix. But he's really good. So they've got some depth. They just don't have experience if Keller Christ isn't ready to go.
Eric, let's move along to number three.
You know, I thought this guy would have a much better year last year, transferring from Boise. His offensive coordinator and play caller, Eli Drinkwitz, moved from Boise to NC State. So you thought this was going to be a perfect fit. And Ryan Finley was a good fit, but North Carolina State's passing game was meh. And Ryan Finley, I mean, he was decent. His passer rating was 135.1. But they just weren't a very dynamic offense all the way around. They should have been a better offense. And I'm not sure why. That's kind of been the story with Dave Dorn as the head coach at NC State. But I think the material is there. I think Ryan Finley could be a really good player, and that's why I have him at number three.
Going through the Notre Dame quarterbacks that, I should say, the opponent's quarterbacks the Irish will face this year, Ryan Finley, NC State, number three. Here's number two.
Number two comes out of the same high school program that produced Andrew Hendricks, Cincinnati Moeller. And this guy was lights out in high school. Got Moeller to two state championships. Was an outstanding baseball player, was going to play both sports in high school, and he was a two-star quarterback. And it's hard to understand why, because he's been very good for Miami. He got hurt and missed Miami's first six games last year, and they went 0-6. When he came back, he had a 166.6 passer rating, which would put him in the top 10 in the country ahead of people like Mitch Trubisky and Pat Mahomes if he had played all the games and had enough games to qualify. His touchdown interception ratio, Darren, was 17-1. So I think this guy is going to be outstanding. Now, he doesn't play the competition some of the others, but against Mississippi State, an SEC defense, he threw for 263 yards and two touchdowns.
All right, which leaves us with number one on your list, the best quarterback the Irish defense will face this year. Probably not a lot of drama with this choice.
It's not a lot of drama, and it's interesting. Coming out of high school, Brandon Wimbush was ranked higher than Sam Darnold by a few spots. But he has been outstanding, and Brandon Wimbush, I think, is going to be two. But Sam Darnold had a 161.1 passer rating, which put him at number eight in the country. He's got some challenges in terms of a rebuilt offensive line. Not a lot of four other offensive starters return around him, but I think he's fantastic. He's a guy that could be a future first pick in the draft if he plays the way this year that he did last year.
There you go. There's the list. Eric ranking the quarterbacks the Irish defense will face in 2017. Sam Darnold of USC tops the list and is the leading candidate for the Heisman. As we sit here, Eric, on June the 27th, you'll worry about that probably in about 5 months. That's a long way away before you have to worry about that particular voting. So that's today's list. Tomorrow, Eric is going to rank the defenses the Irish offense will face this fall. And you want to hear this list because the Irish offense is going to have some unique challenges. At least on paper, it appears they will. So tune in tomorrow, a little after 5 o'clock, as we unveil that list. All right, we will step aside for a moment. When we come back, we'll be joined live by the new head basketball coach at Mishawaka High School, Ron Heklinski. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds and Legacy Heating and Air on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. Along with Eric Hansen, he is the Fighting Irish football insider for the South Bend Tribune back in our WSBT studios. I'm Darren Pritchett traveling with the South Bend Cubs. We've got the Cubs and the Fort Wayne Tin Caps tonight at 7:05 on WSBT Radio. Our guest is the new head basketball coach at Mishawaka High School, Ron Heklinski. Spent 18 years down in Anderson, won 274 games, 5 North Central Conference titles, 5 sectional crowns, and a regional championship, and even was a coach in a McDonald's All-American game back in 2003. And today he was introduced as the Cavemen's new boys basketball coach. And for the first time, we welcome Ron to the program. Ron, it's Darren Pritchett. A pleasure to talk to you. How are you this evening?
I'm really good, Darren. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. We greatly appreciate your time. I know it's been a busy day for you getting introduced as the new Mishawaka basketball coach. What was so interesting about the Mishawaka job that's brought you back to the head coaching ranks after a few years?
Well, you know, I'm originally from South Bend, went to St. Joe High School, and still have family here. So all along, I thought I might kind of wrap up my career, you know, back in the South Bend area. And when the Mishawaka job opened up about a week ago, I thought that might be a great fit for me. Academically, it's a great place. The central office, led by Dr. Spiker, is outstanding. And Jerome Calderoni does a great job of running Mishawaka High School. So the longer the process went on, I thought it would be a great, great fit for me. They have great athletics. They have a very, very good football program. They have a great wrestling and volleyball program. So it seems to me that they're waiting to delve into a great basketball program. And those are the kind of places that I want to be. I want to be in a place where there's excellence. And so that's why Mishawaka is a great fit for me, obviously.
Ron, this is Eric Hansen. I know at the end of your time at Anderson, it was a difficult time for the city of Anderson, and with the closing of the Wigwam as the facility for Anderson High School. But you were quoted in an article saying, "I think I've used up all the passion," and you wanted to refill your passion tank. What have you been doing in between to kind of regenerate that passion?
You know, we moved down to Indianapolis. One of my ex-players was the head basketball coach at Indianapolis Ascena. So I did some work with him. I did some radio. I did some TV. You know, same thing you guys do. And probably about a year and a half ago, my energy tank kind of refueled a little bit. My passion for basketball, I got juiced up a little bit and felt that it was time for me to get back in and felt that it was time for me to continue to lead young men, you know, not only on the basketball court, but in life. That's always been a big mantra of mine in this profession. And so, you know, this thing opened up, and like I said, with the proximity of where I want to live, it's just the right fit for me. Now, with that being said, you know, we got to get some basketball players. We got to win some games. We got to do the things that we do and that I'm used to doing. But I'm very confident in the administration, the athletic administration led now by one of your guys' former colleagues, Dean Humbert. And I'm confident that he'll do some of the things that I want to get done there. And we'll get the basketball program on par with the other great athletic teams that they have at Mishawaka.
Ron Heklinski, new head basketball coach at Mishawaka High School, our guest on WSBT Radio. Ron, you probably are right now talking to a lot of parents of high school kids, middle school kids that are going to be coming through Mishawaka, and I'm sure they'd love to hear the style of play that you would like to bring to the Cave year in and year out.
Well, you know, my style of play has been for the last 18 years has been, you know, let's push the ball up, let's pick up, you know, 84 feet, let's play hard. And some of that might have to change based on personnel, but I can tell you this much, you know, we'll push the ball up the court. We may not take a quick shot, but we'll push the ball up the court to force the other teams to have to run defensively with us. And defensively, obviously my mantra has always been to get after people and to play, you know, hard, solid man-to-man defense. And I just play hard. I mean, I want our guys, you know, when the athletes at Mishawaka High School walk the halls, I know the football players and the wrestlers probably walk the halls with a certain swagger. And I want our guys, you know, I want our guys, our basketball guys, to do that too. I want our guys to understand that the hard work that you put in, that the basketball players are really made from March to November, not from November to March. That it's about how much time you put in the gym in the off season when there's nobody in the stands, and about, you know, getting your game on par with the other players in this area. So I think, I mean, I'm really excited about that. I've always been able to connect with players. I've always been able to have players, look at me and understand that number one, man, there ain't nobody that would rather be playing that game than me as the coach. And number two, I can't play it anymore. So my players have always been an extension of me going out on that court and getting after it.
Ron, again, the situation in Anderson, you know, they closed GM in 1999, and you go from three high schools to one. I think at one point Anderson High had a 57% grad rate. How do you get, you know, obviously you're never going to face probably those kind of odds again, but how do you get the best athletes in the school to be interested in school, to be interested in basketball?
You know, I've always said you make it exciting, and winning breeds everything. I mean, you get, you know, I mean, your facilities have to be good, your locker rooms have to be good. I just spent a couple hours today talking to the personnel of Mishawaka about locker rooms, about a film room, about giving the kids involved the best possible opportunity to succeed in their given sport. And we do a lot of things on the floor. And really, I'm coming from the Wigwam. Are you kidding me? That's the most iconic gym ever. I've coached through the McDonald's games and through my college experiences on great courts, but the Wigwam is the best. Now I'm going to a gym that's the oldest gym in the state of Indiana. And you talk about character, you talk about tradition, you talk about the smell of that place. I don't think that gets any better. So, I mean, my head coaching experiences have been great, and I'm looking forward to carrying that over to the Cave.
Ron Heklinski, new Mishawaka basketball coach, our guest on WSBT Radio. Ron, I was just earlier this week told a story that there's a young man that's playing Division I basketball right now that came up through Mishawaka's elementary, middle schools, and then decided ultimately to go play somewhere else locally. And there's a lot of great choices to go to school. But I'd be curious to know from your standpoint, there's this new Mishawaka Way platform that Mishawaka has unveiled, trying to show all the things that they have to offer. With that being said, what is the key for you to let these young men know that in the middle schools that they don't have to look any farther, that this is the place they need to be at? Is that a difficult process? Is that something you can be a part of to help in that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a difficult process at all. I think the head coach has to be very visible. I think the head coach has to have clinics with junior high coaches. I think the head coach has to have relationships. And really the number one thing that a head coach has to do is incorporate relationships with young student athletes and be down to the junior highs, be down to the elementaries, and you know, talk to the kids about what we have going on in Mishawaka. And when I talk to the team today, the one thing I told them is you want these young kids in Mishawaka to emulate you. You want to get on that court. You want to play your guts out. You want those young kids to say, I want to be a Mishawaka caveman someday. And it's a culture that you need to establish. It's a culture that you need to work at every day. And it's a culture that you constantly need to be down there telling those kids, man, we got something really rolling here at Mishawaka, and there's no sense in going anywhere else because, from my coaching standpoint, I mean, I'm not sure what coaching resume can say that they've coached McDonald All-American games. I was an assistant coach for 3 years, the head coach for 1 year. Then I coached LeBron James, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony. Then I was able to be the head Indiana All-Star coach in the state of Indiana, coached the very best players in Indiana, and some of the other things I did relative to taking my team to Washington, D.C., and playing against the Matha High School in an organ donation game. So I don't think that there's anything that other coaches could offer young kids, you know, and obviously the fact that I care and that I care about them as student-athletes as well. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, kids got to understand about school. Kids got to understand that basketball is going to take them only so far, and that academically you have to get your stuff right in the classroom as well.
Ron, I understand when you were at Anderson, you underwent a liver transplant. I had a friend that did that, and the process and the wait list was incredible. I'm wondering, do you feel like you kind of got a second chance at life, and can you share a little bit of what that process was like?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that it's a really tough process. First of all, I'm a really athletic guy, which has been. When the doctor told me that I had my liver enzymes were elevated, my first comment to him was, "All right, doc, I'll go out and run two more miles." or I'll spend a couple more hours in the gym because I can take, because I can take care of this, because I can whip this, because I've whipped everything else that I've ever had to deal with. And when he said, no, you can't do that, man, you got to have a transplant, you know, then you just go into that mode where you do whatever you got to do. You do whatever you got to do to make it to the next day. And then all of a sudden you get better and you get stronger. And you try and tell yourself, I mean, I was still coaching at Anderson at the time, and you try and tell yourself that you're going to do things a little bit different. You're going to slow down a little bit. You're going to take care of yourself a little bit. And I do that. I'm very cognizant of my health. I'm very cognizant of when I get my labs and my numbers and things like that. But when it comes down to what I do, and what I do is coach and get involved. When it comes down to that, I still go about it the same way. I just know when to shut it down. I mean, there's always a time period where I know I'm kind of going too hard a little bit, and there might be a time period where I need to shut it down for 24 hours. But I've been very blessed, man. I'm going on my 21st year, so my daughter was 7 years old when I got it, and wow, She's now 28. I have two other kids. One's a 13-year-old. One's a 17-year-old. So I've been blessed, and I know that I've been blessed, and I never take it for granted, and just try and wake up every day smiling and live every day. I mean, to the fullest.
Ron, my final set of questions for you. With you being the new head coach at Mishawaka, ties with St. Joe, have you been to the new St. Joe High School and Gymnasium? And the second part of the question is just your overall impressions of Northern Indiana Conference basketball.
Yeah, first of all, St. Joe's got a great facility. I think they've done a great job rebuilding St. Joe and putting St. Joe, you know, in the new age of high school buildings, and they do a great job academically at St. Joe and athletically at St. Joe. The NIC, I mean, you want to talk about basketball? I mean, I'm coming from the North Central Conference, so the North Central Conference, I mean, top to bottom was great every year. The NIC top to bottom is a great league also. I mean, you have great players, you have great coaches, and obviously you got to prepare your teams very, very well, because every coach in the NIC is going to be well prepared, and every NIC league game is going to be a tough battle. You know what? That's the way it should be, man. You know, Northern Indiana, South Bend Adams, South Bend Riley, Mishawaka, the Elkhart schools. I mean, that's basketball right there. That's basketball in the old time. I think it's coming back a little bit. And from my standpoint, I haven't been up here, so you can't tell me that it's not this or it's not that. I remember from the old time, so I'm going to approach it like that.
Ron, last one from me. I know you had some college coaching experience. You were on Coach Hunsiger's staff at Ball State. I think you had a cup of coffee with Illinois State. What kind of, when you came to the fork in the road, coaxed you toward high school rather than staying with college?
Well, I mean, really, my experiences at the college level were great. At Ball State, we went to two NCAA tournaments and two NIT tournaments when we were there. When I was at Illinois State, I had the opportunity to coach with my high school coach, Bob Donawald, who's just a legend and great. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it was about, you know, the recruiting and being on the road and being able to be there and being a dad for my kids. And the Anderson job, so to speak, was almost like a college job to me, to be quite honest with you, with the tradition, with the wigwam, you know, with the teaching schedule being very well tailored to the basketball coaching schedule. So that was almost like a college job to me. And, you know, probably the recruiting and being able to be home every night. To me, coaching is coaching. When I coached LeBron James, when I coached Chris Paul, all that was coaching to me also. You know, I'm on the floor because that's the week-long deal. That's not just coaching the day and play the game. I mean, you're there a week, and you're running those practices, and every NBA general manager is sitting underneath the baskets watching what you're doing. So, when you're talking about pressure and trying to teach the game the right way, you got all those guys watching. So I've taught it to the very best, and it always comes back to me to just having the opportunity to work with young kids, and not only coaching basketball, but obviously coaching life as well. And this is where I belong. I've had a nice little break, but I'm juiced up again, and I'm ready to go, and excited to be at Mishawaka High School.
Ron Heklinski, new head basketball coach at Mishawaka High School, our first chance to speak with Ron. Enjoyed the conversation, Ron. Welcome back, and we look forward to meeting you in person and speaking again.
Thanks, guys. You guys are the best, man.
Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Ron Heklinski, new Mishawaka head basketball coach, 274 wins in 18 years at Anderson, now back as a head coach with the Cavemen. All right, coming up in just a second, we'll have our My 5 question of the day. We'll start the 6 o'clock hour. We'll talk to new director of athletics for the school city of Mishawaka, Dean Huppert, about this hire. Rapid fire still to come. Cubs baseball at 6:50, all on 96.1 FM, WSBT. We have made an executive decision. We're getting short on time. We're going to move the My 5 to tomorrow's program. We'll answer the question of the 5 football programs that would benefit the most from conference alignment. But, Eric, why don't we mention the ND Insider Notre Dame Football Annual. You guys have sent it to the print shop, and I know Mike Burrell was tweeting about this today. He's looking forward to everyone seeing it, very excited about it. Any idea when it's going to be on bookshelves?
I would say middle of next week is a safe bet, and people can certainly order it now at ndinsider.com/buy the mag, B-U-Y the mag. We've got a lot of cool features in there. Brandon Wimbush, Mike McGlinchey, Sean Crawford are our big features. The Day in the Life of Brian Kelly, Mike Elko and Chip Long, we did big pull-out features on them. Tyler did a really cool feature called Recatching a Wave. It's about getting back to recruiting Hawaii. And Darren, there's always much more.
All right, very good. We'll take a short time out. We'll find out what's coming up in the Tribune next on WSBT.
Here's Eric Hansen with what's coming up in tomorrow's South Bend Tribune Sports Section.
Well, whatever you didn't get from the radio interview, Tom Noy will have that on Ron Heklinski and tomorrow's South Bend Tribune. We'll also have coverage of the South Bend Cubs at the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. And Darren, much, much more as usual.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Sean will join me next. Top of the hour, WSBT South Bend.
This is Budweiser's weekday sports beat on your home of the Irish. 96.1 FM, WSBT.
Here's a home run ball. Going for it is Fuller. He's out there. He catches it. Touchdown, Notre Dame.
Jackson with a spectacular spin move. And now the no-look pass to Zach August for the two-handed slam.
Adios. Two-run home run, Gleyber Torres.
Kaiser looks, timing pattern.
Caught. Touchdown, Notre Dame. Corey Hunter Jr.
Number one goes down at Notre Dame again.
Here are your hosts, Darren Pritchett and Sean Stiers.
And we welcome you to hour number two of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM WSBT. Sean back in our WSBT studios. I'm Darren with the South Bend Cubs in Fort Wayne. Jordan Automotive Group pregame show at 6:50. First pitch, Cubs and Tin Caps at 7:05. The Cubs had one hit last night and a 5-1 loss. Hopefully they'll do a wee bit better than that tonight here at Parkview Field. Well, we're going to talk more about Mishawaka hiring a new head basketball coach in this opening segment. And in just a minute, we're going to be joined by the new director of athletics for the school city of Mishawaka, Dean Huppert. Sean, you were out at the press conference today where Mishawaka officially introduced Ron Heklinski as their new head basketball coach. And we had him on at 5:30 talking about this opportunity. What stood out listening to Ron speak about joining this Mishawaka family?
Well, I think it's just the excitement, enthusiasm of trying to sort of bring boys basketball up to where the football program has been for the long time, and wrestling, he mentioned, where wrestling has been for a long time, and give the basketball, the guys who play basketball, the chance to kind of strut their stuff down the hallway and walk around with pride through the school the way the guys in the football team, the wrestling team, those other programs have been able to do for several years now. And I don't know if I think you'd probably have to say old school to some extent. But, I mean, sure. What struck me was just listening to him. I mean, he sounded like he had already been coaching for a few days. you know, this week, because just the rasp in his voice, he sounds like a basketball coach. And I mean, he talked about not just fundamental defense, but playing hard, going out there, and he kind of talked about tempo and just playing a hard-nosed man-to-man. I think what struck me was he said something to the effect of the bench is a good teacher. If you're not doing the things and playing the way you're supposed to when you're out on the floor, the bench can be a good teacher to kind of get you turned around and get you motivated pretty quickly.
Well, if you didn't know better by the passion that he showed you today and during our interview a few moments ago, you would have thought his brother's Bart Curtis, because they kind of have that same mentality, don't they?
Yeah, they do. That's good. I like that analogy.
Yeah, the football coach at Mishawaka High School. So Ron Heklinski is the new Mishawaka boys basketball coach, and joining us now is the new guy in charge of the school city of Mishawaka Athletic Department, Dean Huppert, our colleague for so many years. Now he's working hard at the school city of Mishawaka, and he joins us for a couple of moments to talk about the hiring today. Hello, Dean. How are you?
Hey, great, guys. How are you doing?
We are doing fantastic. We appreciate your time. Well, we had a spirited conversation with your new basketball coach about 40 minutes ago. Really enjoyed talking to him for the first time. So let me start with this. Pretend like you never saw his resume. Pretend you didn't know he was from our area and played at St. Joe High School. What were a couple of things that stood out during the interview process that said, wow, this is the right guy for the job?
When I saw a headline that said, Heklinski will quit if they tear down the wigwam, there was a guy who understood, appreciated Indiana high school basketball. Mm-hmm. There was a guy who was dedicated enough to say, you know what, this means something to me. This community, this place is special, and I don't want to coach if it's not going to be special. And so when you talk to him for the first time, it's just contagious. I mean, you can just sit, and I know you guys are going to go to his office and just hang out, because it's that type of presence. Who he's almost like a Forrest Gump of high school basketball and college basketball, because if you bring up a name, oh, yeah, I know him, and oh, I coach with him, and oh, I started my career with this guy, and I shared a camp. He's just unbelievable in his memory. I mean, he just has a connection everywhere. But the thing that impressed me the most, we were taking a tour through the locker room, and one of the players was in there just getting done with open gym, and he said, hey, I'm Coach Heck. What you got, man? And the kid looked at him, and he's like, what you got? You got in game? And he just started talking to him about his strengths and his weaknesses. And, well, what do you want to do? And he said, well, you know, we'd like to get up and down the floor. Well, you can get up and down the floor, but doesn't mean you got to shoot. If you got an open shot, you're going to shoot it, right? Yeah, coach. And all of a sudden, there was just a connection there right away. And that's what Jerome Caldroni and myself and Sherry Kaiser and Eileen Coleman, when we were in the interview process, it was contagious. And you could just tell that we had some great candidates, some great interviews, some guys who would be a great fit. But is everybody in our community going to buy in? Are they going to trust this coach? Are they going to understand? And are these players? We've got seven seniors. This isn't a young group that's just learning how to play basketball. We've got some seniors on that team, so they got to buy in, because they're going to be the leaders of the program.
Dean, the NIC is a conference with a lot of experienced and successful coaches. When you talk about all those things, how important was not just finding some of the stuff that you just talked about, but an experienced coach with a track record as well?
I need somebody who can go on that sideline and look across and not think twice about what his game plan is. Not like, man, I'm coaching against that guy, or wow, this team's getting all the headlines. When he went out to DeMatha to go up against Morgan Wooten, and they were ranked number 3 in the country, and he had a good team, but he's talking about guys who are 6'9 and 6'10 on DeMatha, and there you got Morgan just coaching his guts out. And Ron Heklinski takes that team there, and they came back to Indiana with pride, and he had some small guys, but he found a way to get it done. He doesn't care who the guy is on the other sideline. I mean, he told you in his interview, I mean, he's been an Indiana All-Star coach. He's coached LeBron James. He's been part of former McDonald's All-America. He doesn't get intimidated by the moment. He's coached in the wigwam where there's 9,000 fans, and Of course, he had them on his side. That helps. When you got 9,000 screaming and they're on your side, we hope to have a few thousand doing the same thing, giving us that home court advantage. But he doesn't get afraid of the moment. And sometimes in life, you come across people that have that it factor. Lou Holtz had it. You guys have been around some of these people that you walk into a room and they just own it. And this guy does. And to know the passion and to know his story and to know how he can affect lives, being a liver transplant guy that appreciates that and wants to make a difference, with our Caveman Care Foundation, that's exactly what we want. We want people on board who can make a difference for students, academically, athletically, and in the arts. And he fits right into the culture of excellence in the Mishawaka way.
Dean, I know obviously Jerome knows about coaching basketball, the principal of Mishawaka High School. You've been around the game for a long time from a media standpoint. When you went into this process, did you guys even care about style of play, or is it more about finding the right guy that sort of plays into that platform you guys have been talking about, the Mishawaka way?
I learned a long time ago when I was covering athletics that the great athletic directors, the great coaches have great players. Now, the great athletic directors have great coaches. You can make yourself look really good when you've got a guy like Bart Curtis and Steve Anderson and Chris Kovalevsky. I mean, when you've got some coaches who know what they're doing, they're Hall of Fame-type caliber people. You add a Ron Heklinski into that, he can coach basketball. You know what? I played high school basketball for Dean Foster. Oh, Dean, I traveled with him. Man, he was a heck of a player back in high school. You know, I played for Dean Foster, but Ron Heklinski knew him. He coached against him. He drew from Dean Foster's style of play, and he's been doing that all his life. He's going to find out what the strengths are of these kids, what the weaknesses are of his opponent, and he's going to play to that, and he's going to be able to coach basketball. These kids right now, I don't really think they know how fortunate they are. Our Mishawaka fans, they're going to learn how fortunate they are to have a guy of this caliber come in here and to understand that we had a guy like Ryan Watson just have a solid program and build the foundation. Now we want to take it to the next level, and I'm the luckiest guy because I got Ron Heklinski as a coach, and I've got Ryan Watson in my office in the athletic department now. So we've got a chance to make some things sing here.
Dean, Darren just mentioned the Mishawaka way, and you guys had that sign up at the press conference today, the Mishawaka way. Just kind of tell us a little bit about that.
And Dr. Dean Spiker, our superintendent, he has a vision, and it's creating a culture of excellence. And so when you think about the Mishawaka way, it's going to let the community know, let our students know, let our faculty know, let our administration, that this is what we're about. We start with a culture of excellence, high expectations across the board. We want to have high expectations because if you set the bar low, you're not going to shoot for it. Growth mindset. You have to have a mindset where you can just think of the possibilities and not say, you know what, I can't do it. How can I do it? Collaboration, communication, creativity, critical thinking, innovation, integrity, building community, customer experience. All these things of the Mishawaka way work in business. They work in life. They work if you're a student, if you're a parent. And so we've got a wheel that goes around the culture of excellence, and everybody not only buys into it, but they believe in it because, I mean, customer experience. You guys go to Notre Dame, welcome to Notre Dame Stadium. They mean it when they say that. We want to have the same thing at Mishawaka. High expectations. When you're talking about integrity, if you don't have integrity, people will see right through it. And if you're a coach, these kids will see right through it. So the Mishawaka way is the foundation that we're building everything on when it comes to academics, arts, athletics, everything that the administration puts out there. And people believe in Dr. Spiker, and he's been an amazing guy to work for. I've only been here for a couple months, but, man, that guy is a step ahead of everybody in the room, and he just makes a difference. And we're just very lucky to have a person of his caliber.
Dean Huppert is our guest, new director of athletics for the School City of Mishawaka, announced the hiring of boys basketball coach Ron Heklinski today. Here's my final question for you for this particular day. How much of a help was it being a media member who has spent most of his life asking questions to coaches and then going through the process of interviewing an individual for a head coaching position?
Well, having somebody like Jerome Caldroni in my corner that we could talk back and forth, and somebody who gets it, somebody who understands, is an amazing part of it. But you guys know, I covered, and some of the teams were average teams or mediocre, and we tried to give everybody coverage. But at the end of the day, you're always going out and you're covering the teams that have the coaches, that have the players, and they're on a roll. And all of a sudden, they got it going in February and March, and you just feel it. Those things I learned, and I found out what they had. And so sometimes you can just see it. And, you know, in 94, I could tell Tom DeBates I had something special. I mean, some of these football teams, you go out there and you're talking to the coaches and you just get a feeling. And so I think when we were asking questions, they're not going to fake you. I mean, we've been in all these press conferences. You know who's lying to you, who's trying to sell you, who's going to market you. And you get that. When there's somebody who's the real deal, who's genuine, like Ron Heklinski, who talks with pride, who wants to make a difference, not just on the court, but off the court as well, and who tells you straight to your face and looks you in the eye, you know what, I want to be part of a community. I've been in this place and I've been in this place, but I want to come back to the north. That's where I'm from, and Mishawaka is a perfect fit for me. You believe it, and I have no reason not to, and I've seen some guys, and you guys have too, that I'm not so sure I'm buying what he's selling. I'm buying. I'm all in. And when he told the kids today, hey, we're going to get a new locker room. We're going to. I'm like, whoa, that's dollar signs. I didn't know we were getting a new locker room. I told the players, so I guess we better start working on the locker room. I'm like, we got to work on this locker room thing. So let's get it done. But he makes you believe it, and if he needs it, we're going to find a way to get it done.
Dean, my last one for you. You've been on the job now for a few weeks. Has anything really kind of caught you off guard, caught you by surprise, or just kind of stood out for you since you've been on the job?
You know, I'm just blessed to have so many great people around me, and you wouldn't believe the colleagues, the other athletic directors that I've worked with through the years at the local schools, from Penn to Northwood to Lakeshore to Concord. I mean, these people have reached out and said, if there's anything I can do, Troy Holmes was my athletic director when I was an assistant coach. Give me a call anytime, day or night. I mean, there have been so many people who have reached out, and then to know the administration's behind you, I may not have the answer, but two doors down, they do. I may not have the answer, but I can walk across the street. I've got great assistants. We have a great team here, so I know I have a lot to learn. And then I have somebody like Jim Aldrich, who's been in this position, who's been a coach, who's so loyal to Mishawaka, who says to me, hey, man, if there's anything I can do, anything at all, if you need any advice. So, man, they're putting it out there, and I'm gonna go ahead and use it. So, you know, I heard you guys talking earlier about the bench as a good teacher. When he was talking to the players today, he said, hey, I got a philosophy. If you're not a good shooter, don't shoot. That was pretty good advice, I thought. He's like, you can pass it to the guy who can shoot. Put it to him because he's a good shooter. Today's been a fun day, and I appreciate good. You guys having us on. And I don't know where you got the scoop last night, but you started a little storm because I started getting texts, and all of a sudden, hey, AM960 saying this. I called Jerome. Jerome's like, I haven't told anybody. And so good job on your reporting job, and you're right on the money with it. So you guys are ahead of everybody.
I dodged that bullet then. Very good. Well, hopefully I didn't cause too much of a firestorm for you, but it was exciting news, and we were happy to pass it along, and I'm glad it was right. And, Dean, we appreciate your time today on a very, very busy day. Congratulations on the new hire, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, I've got a school board meeting at 7 o'clock, so if they don't approve this basketball coach at 7, I may be giving you a call back, and you can have a scoop on that too, okay, buddy?
Sounds good, Dean. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Take care.
You bet. There you are, former media colleague, now new director of athletics for the school city of Mishawaka, Dean Hubbard, talking about the hiring today of Ron Heklinski as Mishawaka boys basketball coach. We've got rapid fire coming up next. We have Cubs baseball at 6:50, all on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM, WSBT. Sports Beat brought to you by Budweiser and Legacy Heating and Air on WSBT Radio. I'm Darren Pritchett with Sean Stiers, and it's time for another installment of Rapid Fire.
Yes. Darren, I just saw today college football will celebrate its 150th birthday in 2 years. We still have a little bit of ways to go, but it was announced today that a committee's been formed to decide how to commemorate the 150th anniversary of the start of college football during the 2019 season. So, what would you want to see as part of a milestone celebration?
I never look at these questions, but you asked me to look at one of the questions, and this was it. So I spent a couple of hours, and I could not come up with a great answer for you because I'm bored with lists.
Right.
I just don't see how you compare Roger Staubach to Joe Montana to Tim Tebow to Vinny Testaverde. Yeah. It's impossible to do. So I get bored with the all-time lists. The best thing I could come up with, each team comes up with the five greatest plays in their program's history. That's kind of stale, boring, been done. But I really couldn't come up with that home run answer. I'm hoping you have it for me.
I don't know that I have a home run answer because I was like you. When I first saw this, I think, oh, well, this would be interesting. We could both come up with a suggestion. I don't know how great these are. I have two, so we'll see. The first college game, of course, played between Rutgers and Princeton almost 150 years ago. So obviously no one's still alive from those games. But
right.
What if you found as many descendants, like great-great-great-great-grandchildren or whatever, find as many descendants as possible from that game. You kind of do something for them. And then you maybe play a flag football game with the descendants from that original game, if you can find enough. That was one idea.
Okay.
The other, again, a long shot, even though they didn't wear helmets in 1869, but you get a group of former college and pro guys, and you put them in retro uniforms with leather helmets and all that kind of stuff, and then you play a game with the original rules and one of those original footballs, which was almost shaped more like a basketball, I think, back then, than a football. So those are the two best that I could come up with as well.
Or just host Battle of the Network Stars.
I think it starts on Thursday.
There you go.
All right. We didn't come up with very good ideas. I'm disappointed that between the two of us,
nothing stood out.
We didn't come up with much. But maybe that's why they had to form a committee, and they're going to take 2 years to decide what they're going to do.
You validated our inability to come up with something creative.
That's exactly it. All right. Game two of the Cubs-Nationals series tonight. There was a playoff atmosphere in last night's Cubs win in Washington. So toss up. Which team is this series bigger for? The defending champs or the team that's still trying to get to its first World Series?
Boy, see, you can look at that in two different ways. The Cubs, it's very important as they continue to try to get on track and track down the Brewers and pass them. The Nationals are going to win the National League East.
Right.
That's pretty much a done deal, barring just their entire nucleus getting destroyed by injuries. So even though the Cubs are still not in a playoff position at this time, I'm just going to go with the Nationals from the standpoint they have been unable to get to the National League Championship Series during this excellent run with the great talent they've had the last few years. They haven't had a whole lot of success against the Cubs, and it may come down to trying to knock off the Cubs to get to the NLCS this year. So even though you got to get to the playoffs before you worry about it, and the Cubs still have to make the playoffs, I'm going to go Nationals just because of their inability to beat quality teams in the postseason, and here's a chance to beat the King of the Hill.
That's a good point, because and I agree with what you said. The Nationals are going to win the East no matter what happens in this series, but the series for the Cubs, because of where they are, I think it means a little bit more for them because it's still a pretty pivotal time for the Cubs. They played last night like it actually meant something. And I mean, I think they fed a lot off the energy of Javi Baez with a couple defensive plays that he made. And I mean, they tried to give it away at the end, but this we just keep hearing about the talent is there for the Cubs. It's just a matter of time before it gets going. Well, sooner or later, you're going to run out of time. So with the All-Star break a couple of weeks away, we're starting to get into the closer to the dog days, and some trades are going to be made and all that kind of stuff. And the starting pitching for the Cubs is actually starting to come around. I saw today Kerry Muscat, who is a reporter for MLB.com, she tweeted, The Cubs starters have a 2.14 ERA over the past couple of weeks. It was 5.40 in May. So the starting pitching is coming around, and I just think that the Cubs could really use, with the way the Nationals have been out front all season, I feel like the Cubs, this could be the kind of thing that could finally be that springboard that they're looking for into getting something going.
Well, that's a very fair argument. And I'll say this, too. I think this is a year where up and down the Cubs system, the trade deadline will affect the minor league system. maybe not someone will be traded on South Bend's team, but there'll be a domino effect. I think there's going to be some holes in the minor league system after the trade deadline, and some guys are going to have to be shuffled around. So I think this year's trade deadline is going to be very interesting for the Cubs system.
All right. You want to take a break, and then we'll come back with another Cubs question after that.
Let's do it. You're listening to Sports Beat, brought to you by Budweiser and Legacy Heating and Air on WSBT. We will wrap up Sports Beat with a few more questions from our rapid fire segment. Sean Steyers, Darren Pritchett with you. Sean, take it away.
We'll see what we can get in. Okay. It's been 3 years since the Cubs made Kyle Schwarber their number four overall draft pick in the MLB draft. Yesterday, his first AAA game since his demotion. He struck out in his first three at-bats. So my question is this. Considering his role in last year's World Series, if Schwarber never becomes the impact player that everyone thought that he would, was that draft pick still worth it?
Yes, because they don't win the World Series without him.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt in my mind. He was the difference in that series. Now, I guess you could argue, well, maybe there was someone that didn't play every day that could have been in that spot that did the same thing. Sure, you can make that hypothetical, but reality is reality. They don't win that series without him because he was so dynamic, getting on base. He was the spark. And I just think in that seven-game series, he was the difference.
And when you think about it, it's really no different. The trade deadline is going to be coming up. So we're gonna hear a lot of prospect names that we've never heard of being given up for proven veterans. And it's really not a whole lot different than that. Now, people wanted Schwarber. They could have traded him. But look all the way back to 84. The Cubs gave up Joe Carter. They get Rick Sutcliffe. I mean, Sutcliffe had a great year. He hit it up. Winning the Cy Young for the Cubs down the stretch, but they didn't go to the World Series. They're still kind of clinging to that, and you kind of bemoan that later on when Joe Carter is a borderline Hall of Famer and he's hitting all these home runs and stuff like that. But if you give up the prospect, you win the whole thing. I mean, you take that any day. And I mean, when you look at the other thing too, you got a guy like Michael Conforto who was drafted in that same draft in the first round as Kyle Schwarber. He was in the World Series with the Mets in 2015. He got sent back to AAA last year, and he's having a great year right now for the Mets. So, I mean, just because he's sent down and just because he struggled yesterday doesn't mean that there's not still good things out there for him. I saw today another thing on Twitter that the Cubs game, the Iowa Cubs game, starts at like 7 o'clock tonight. He was there more than 6 hours before the game, working on his swing and mechanics and stuff. So, I mean, it's not like he's not going to put in the work. I'm sure he'll get it figured out sooner or later.
Well, you would definitely think so, but, you know, you take away that World Series. Do you know what his career batting average is in Major League Baseball?
Oh, man.
207 with a .325 on base percentage. That's in 135 games and 458 at-bats.
Yeah.
Just something to think about.
No, I know. And, I mean, they drafted him based on the kind of approach he has and the dynamic that he has with the power and everything. But I just think that he could stand to kind of cut down that swing a little bit, take the Anthony Rizzo cue and use left field a little bit more, maybe.
Would be nice.
I have a real quick one. This is just for you because we're going to have to wrap up here in a minute.
We got time. Go ahead.
All right. Explain to the hockey layman of the world the story that you tweeted out today about former Notre Dame goaltender Cal Peterson. He's opted for free agency rather than signing with the team that drafted him, the Buffalo Sabres. So just explain how this whole thing works.
He was drafted in 2013 by the Buffalo Sabres. You have 4 years holding the rights of a player. Some guys sign at 18, 19, and 20, start playing professional hockey. Others go to college and eventually will sign with the team that drafted him. With the collective bargaining agreement, Buffalo had 4 years to sign him. And since Cal stayed 3 years at Notre Dame, he was drafted while he was in the United States Hockey League. That's the fourth year. He became a free agent, and he decided it was in his best interest not to sign with Buffalo. There's a clause in the collective bargaining agreement that was in place 4 years. You become a free agent, and it was kind of a give back to the players because they go to college and give up money as 18, 19, 20 to sign with NHL teams. So it's kind of a give and take, I think, on the collective bargain agreement. So since the four-year window has passed, he elected not to sign with Buffalo, who has a brand-new management team that he has not been a part of over the last 4 years. He has elected to sign with somebody in the National Hockey League. It's up to him to decide. The best way to explain this to me, it's kind of like the international signing pool in Major League Baseball. You get to choose where you get to play in what organization before you ever step foot, you know, in a professional uniform. Normally you get drafted, not the case with the internationals in baseball. And I guess in this particular instance, not many players use this clause, but Peterson has decided to use that clause in the CBA to sign with whomever he wants, and it'll be interesting to see who he chooses.
It's just, it was an interesting little twist. When I saw that, I'm like, now hold it, what? Now he's a free agent? I thought he was going to, you know, sign with the team. I mean, because baseball guys, they can get drafted out of high school, and they can still go to college, too.
Sure.
So I guess it's, like you said, it has to do with that collective bargaining agreement they have.
I didn't see the final numbers this year, but I think it's fair to say 35% to 38% of players in the NHL this year played in college hockey, and that number continues to rise. So the NHL needs college players, so the system needs to be ripped up, needs to be shredded. We need to start all over because you've got kids going a month to college in the middle of the season, up and leave and sign with professional teams. There needs to be more give and take, and until someone can stand up to the NHL and get them to alter these rules, it's just very unfair to college teams, unfortunately.
Oh,
they
absolutely
get the raw deal in all of this. We lose Anders Bjork and Cal Peterson after 3 years. And you know what? In today's college hockey, you get great players for 3 years. You feel very, very fortunate. Vinny Hinostroza left Notre Dame after 2 years to sign with the Blackhawks. So it's a flawed system. Nobody likes it, but for some reason we can't come together as a college hockey unit and the NHL to get a better system in place. Hopefully someday we will, because it'll be better for both sides.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we think one and done is bad, and then you have a system like this where you can be on campus for a month or two, and then all of a sudden, well, I'm going to sign instead. See you later.
That happened a few years ago. We had a defenseman that was drafted by the Canadiens. He was on campus taking fall classes and then left.
Man.
It doesn't make any sense.
Not good for anybody.
All right, that's Rapid Fire and Sports Beat for today, brought to you by Budweiser and Legacy Heating and Air. Sean, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a good one. We'll see you.
Thank you so much. For Sean Stiers, I'm Darren Pritchett. South Bend Cubs baseball is coming up next on WSBT.